Brilliant. So, Gianpaolo, thank you very much for joining us. I would love to start by asking you to introduce yourself to the people that might not know you and your work, and then share a bit about your professional journey so far and some of the digital learning work that you've done over the past couple of years that you are proud of and that kind of represents your approach to digital learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Gianpaolo Canale, and I am part of the Learning Innovation Team at the Medical School at Queen Mary, and I'm also doing a PhD part-time around the use of artificial intelligence for communication skills training. My work in digital learning started during the pandemic, actually, when I was working as an assistant teacher back in Peru, and I had to quickly adapt my course to the online format because of the pandemic and also support other educators in that sense. And ever since I joined the Learning Innovation Team at the IHSE in 2022, I have had the opportunity to work on various projects, such as the implementation on PebblePad, which is the e-portfolio system we use at the medical school, and also various projects around virtual reality for clinical skills training, anatomy training, and mindfulness for students as well.
Is brilliant. Thank you very much. Quite a career over the past 5 years. And I think as kind of a high point recently, you were one of the joint winners of the Educational Professional of the Year from the Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry here at Queen Mary. Could you describe the project, the pilot, the work that you think led to this award? And how that impacted students' learning experience, to kind of give us sort of a sample of some of the work that you've done that kind of led to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it focused mainly on two projects. One of them was PebblePad, the portfolio system I was telling you about. Since I joined the team, I have been working on implementing this new technology for the clinical placements of our medical and physician associate students, and also for other programs such as our intercalated degree in medical education and some of our apprenticeships in clinical education. What has been nice about PebblePad is that this learning technology has offered students an opportunity to better evidence the learning outcomes and experiences as part of their clinical experiences in real time, offering us as well an opportunity to better track how they're engaging and supporting them when needed. Additionally to this project, I have also been involved in some virtual reality projects. We were successful in a Westfield grant that allowed us to purchase some virtual reality headsets and some licenses for an anatomy teaching software that, in collaboration with the anatomy team, has allowed us to offer these sessions to around 500 students in the early years. The anatomy team has been in charge on delivering these sessions, and the students had really liked the opportunity to interact with these anatomy models in virtual reality in a more engaging way. We have also used this technology with our physician associate students using a software called Oxford Medical Simulations, which allows them to be immersed in an experience similar to what they would have if they were in an AI room, treating some patients, having to ask them some questions in order to get a diagnosis and deciding appropriate steps, which has been quite positive for them, especially before their placements, where they could be quite nervous and anxious about it. And we have also collaborated with our student support office, who are currently delivering some mindfulness session using Trip, which is a virtual reality software that provides immersive meditation sessions. And this service has allowed them to reach to a new population of students that would normally not necessarily ask for help, but that nevertheless would benefit from some strategies and tools in order to better handle their stress.
Wow, that's quite impressive, Jim. I think quite sort of e-portfolios, virtual reality, holistic education, active learning. There's a lot there, I think, that is quite rich. I think I would love to pick your brain, taking a step back from some practical projects and some of the kind of the more tangible parts of your career. And ask you about the kind of pedagogical principles, philosophies that kind of inform your digital learning work. And if you could also kind of cover, you know, what the particulars of your digital learning work are and how those principles inform it with some examples, that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can think of three main principles that have to do with scaffolding, active learning, and psychological safety. In terms of scaffolding, and especially with digital learning, I think it is very important to ensure that whatever e-learning materials we design for our students, they are comprehensive enough so that it is very clear for them how they are expected to engage with them and what learning outcomes they are expected to achieve by engaging with this material. In the PebblePad project, for instance, I have been in charge to design the portfolios, making sure that they reflect the learning outcomes that the different placements and specialties have for the students, and keeping in mind how big our cohorts are and that we have different groups of students taking these placements at different times and with different backgrounds and different interests. It has been really important for me to ensure that these portfolios are scaffolded enough so that it is very clear for them from the first glance what they are expected to do and what the educational value is from taking part in these activities. As for active learning, and this is something that became quite evident when I work in collaboration with the physician associate team to deliver virtual reality sessions around clinical scenarios. This offered the students an opportunity to be immersed probably for the first time in an AI&E environment and treat a virtual patient and apply what they have learned theoretically in the classroom in a more practical way, applying those knowledges and those pieces of information in a more systematic way, trying to reflect how they would normally practice in the real world. So that alignment within the theory and the real world practice. And also something very important to that was the sense of psychological safety. Because it was a simulation and because we're talking about virtual patients, the stakes are quite low in comparison to real patient interactions. These sessions took place just before students were about to start their placements, and understandably, they were quite nervous and quite anxious about being in a clinical environment for the first time. So when the lecturers facilitated the session, it was quite explicit that there was an opportunity for them to make mistakes, and that in this safe environment, making mistakes wouldn't necessarily entail any negative consequences, but rather approach that as a safe opportunity to learn.
That's amazing. Thank you very much. And for the wonderful examples as well, that kind of bring all of these principles to life. I would wrap up with kind of a horizon scanning exercise for you. I know it's a hard question whenever someone in digital learning is asked to predict the future, but if I could ask you as kind of an experienced educator, an experienced digital learning professional, how do you see the kind of the future of teaching and learning in education? What kind of trends or areas do you see that might be important, or things that you'd like to explore or that you think are important for the sector to kind of get into and start working through or innovating on?
That is a big question. I think there are a few trends at the moment. We are talking about potential bigger cohorts, which highlight the importance of having hybrid learning approaches. We're also talking consistently about artificial intelligence and how it's changing completely how education is taking place in the classroom, but also when students are learning on their own. But I think what all of these scenarios have in common is the question about how to maintain the relational aspect at the center of education. And I think this is something that has become quite clear over the past few years, which is no matter where technologies are taking us or what these new trends are offering us in terms of opportunities and challenges, the relational aspect of education and what happens between educators and students and between the students themselves is going to be quite important. So being quite mindful of thinking about how these relationships can be further strengthened even with these new technologies or using these new technologies, I think that's going to be the key question for the coming years.
It's a really interesting take, Gianpaolo. I think taking active learning, scaffolding, opportunities to try and make mistakes and learn, and sort of having engagement and the relationship aspect at the core of the learning approach. I think that's A, as old as education itself, and B, really kind of forward-looking and innovative as you kind of see of new technologies and new socioeconomic trends that kind of impact education. I'd love to kind of thank you for your time and for sharing such wonderful examples, and congratulate you once again on the award. And thank you for kind of sharing your practice with Digital Education Studio for this month's newsletter.
No, thank you very much. It was a great chat.